Welcome to The Truth Simply Put, the teaching broadcast vehicle of the Basilea Commission. On today's teaching, God's Word, rightly divided in the light of Christ, who is the central theme of the entire scriptures, will come with simplicity, precision, clarity, and power to instruct, admonish, edify, and build you up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, let's dive straight in.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through to verse 18. Therefore I also, this is Paul speaking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may what? What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And Papa said over and over that if you understand a fraction of what Christ did, you will never be the same again. Do you understand? If you understand a fraction, maybe not the entire thing, but if you understand a fraction of what Christ did, you will never be the same again. So Paul was praying that at the eyes of our understanding may be open, that we may know. One of the major challenges that we face or we deal with is that of understanding what it means to be a new creation. So a lot of us are struggling with certain things because we've not come to understand that we are a new creation and all things have passed away. Is this clear? All right, so let me show you something. We'll be reading a few scriptures. So let's see Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he will be made the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. Someone say faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Let's see it in the message. A contract drawn up by a hand-nosed lawyer and with plenty of fine print only makes sure that you will never be able to collect. But if there is no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise at that, you can't break it. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his ways, and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as a pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it, those who keep their religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is the father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backwards. He's our faith father. We all know the story of Abraham, don't we? Father of faith that told a white lie. Faith. But you lied, sir. You lied. You lied. And we all know that Abraham was declared righteous. Right? Through faith by God. But sir, you lied. So how is that? How are you righteous? By lying. How are you righteous? By lying. Let's go further. Now, in scripture, you get to see that Abraham's faith is displayed a lot. You know, in fact, he's called the father of faith. That means, I would like to think, that if anyone was going to teach you faith, it would be Abraham. Because he is the father of faith. Let's see Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. This is where I kick off. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. So I thought to bring the story of Abraham just so that you can have a picture of where we're going. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained, King James, I think it's King James that says, a good report. For by it, next thing to bank is this verse. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, let me take you through some of the elders' story. We've seen one elder, Abraham, that lied. You know? Then, we know our man, Devo. King David. David. Oh, my God. If there's anybody that should go to hellfire, you should be this man. This man, he will do and undo and do and undo. You know, imagine plotting the death of a soldier, and you give, and they gave a signal that everybody, as many as they were as an army, everyone understood the sign except for Uriah, because the king, when people are going for war, Sir say, let me take a break, let me chill, you know. And then he goes up to his, wherever he is in his palace, and sees somebody's wife having a bath. I'm going to tell you a story so that you can understand for where we are going. You know, he says, he sends for her, she says she's on her period, say I'll wait. So it was not something that, it was a mistake. Oh my God, my bad. It was not a mistake. It was predestined. He think about it. This was not thought. He think about it. And his Uriah's wife gets pregnant. And he sends for Uriah, you know, come. Sleep with your wife, you know, just come back so that, you know. And Uriah, being a nobleman, says, how can the Lord's army be fighting and I'm here with my wife? And so he sleeps outside, even when he was drunk to stupor. In the old, when they were drunk, they were drunk. I don't think they ever processed their wine. They just drank it like straight from the tree. I'm joking. So that's one elder, Elder David. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So far, this report I have given you, is it good? Okay. We know Gideon. Gideon, you know, he was hiding away, you know, doing his own thing. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, mighty man of valor. Gideon tells him, sir, I am the least in my father's house. My father's house is the least in our clan. Do you understand? Then my clan is the least in Israel. So anywhere that you go, I am the least. That is my list of being the least. Because that's quite a list that he gave the angel of the Lord. I'm sure he must have said, my friend, stop that. Oh, I'm trying to hide you. Because when angel appear, not drama. Have you ever seen angel appear quietly? And this one is the angel of the Lord. Huh. I'm sure he must have been like, bros, stop. Stop it. Me, Gideon, mighty man, I'm hiding away. Does that report sound like a good report? No, it doesn't. Do you know Samson? Okay. You know Samson, right? Long hair, killing people, only him. You know, Game of Thrones kind of ninja. You know, long hair, chicks, Delilahs. You know, carrying the gate. Do you know what it means? Wait. Do you know what it means to carry the gate of a city? Gates that I'm sure he must have taken time to install. Samson, just because you have energy, you just said, carry it like you're carrying a school bag and carries the gate, kills 200 men with the jawbone of an ass. Strong man fell for a woman. Samson does not listen to anybody. You know, he does what he likes, when he likes, however he likes. Does that sound like someone that has a good report? One more. Moses. One more. I told you, I came with the elders' report. Moses. First of all, you know, you were rescued, you were with Pharaoh. Moses was being trained to be a Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is not somebody's name. Just in case some people did not know. It's not a name of a person. It's more like a title. Do you understand? So that's why when the Pharaoh that died after Joseph, when a new one came, he said, now this Pharaoh did not know Joseph, if you read your scripture. So it's not somebody's, you cannot come and say, my name is Pharaoh. Moses saw two people fighting. And then sees that this one is disadvantaged. Looked at this one and you look like an Egyptian. Now, by Moses' training and upbringing, who was he supposed to stand for? The Egyptian, right? But then Moses looks at the Egyptian and frees the Israelites and looks and kills the Egyptian. Now, scripture says nobody saw. He looked and looked and he did not see anybody. Right? When he was killing the Egyptian. He didn't see anybody. Now, the second day, he comes out and two Israelites are now fighting. And then he goes, why are you people fighting? And then they say, who made you judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you? But I thought nobody saw. What does that tell you? The law always keeps record of wrong. The law always keeps record of wrong. Always. It always keeps record of wrong. And to push it further with Moses' story. Now, when the Israelite told him this, he now runs away. He runs away at 40, goes to, you know, gets a Gentile wife and marries her and then encounters the burning bush. And you go a bit further, you see where Moses comes to rescue Israel and he's told to strike, to speak to the rock, and then he strikes the rock. Which we have been taught was, it was not the rock, that rock. It was Christ. And then he claims credit and says, shall we give you water? Moses now sounded like who they give salvation. Will we now, because you're angry, you strike the rock, even two times. Strike. Will we now, shall we give you? Who is the we? When salvation is an exclusive act of God. You know, that's how God now say, Mo, come. You know, just come. At that point, Moses instantly deified himself. I've told you about some elders, right? All these reports I've given you, do they sound like a good report from Hebrews 11:2? By faith, the elders obtained. That means they came and took good reports. Came and took good report. The title of my message is The Believer's Faith Narrative. I've told you all about this main men, senior men of the gospel. So far, we all agree that is not a good report. Now, let's read Hebrews. Verse 11 from verse 17 to 24. I'll run through this. Hebrews 11, verse 17-24. First of all, we know in John 1:29, behold, and when John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, then we know from Romans 5 that by one man sin entered. So we were condemned because of one man. And for those that believe have been made righteous because of one man. So now let's read Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 24. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. See, it is important that you don't see Bible stories when you are reading the scripture. Because that, what did scripture say? He gave up his only begotten son, which was foreshadowing what was to come, what God was going to do. Let's go. I'll just be showing you Christ in all of these elders. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, these are elders, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We're at 25, right? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. 27 is worse. By faith, he forsook Egypt. I thought in the Old Testament, they said Moses ran. Yes. Now in Hebrews, they say by faith. 27, please. By faith, he forsook Egypt. So between the old and the new, who is lying? Whose word are we taking? Now in Exodus chapter 2, you see that Moses killed the Egyptian, ran away, right? But Hebrews tells us that he forsook Egypt. And it is interesting to know that even Moses did not know what he was doing. He acted out of fear, but heavens recorded it as faith. Heaven, the narrative that heaven had was that Moses acted out of faith, not fear. Did Moses know? He didn't know. He didn't know. So, Paul said, there is a difference between what is recorded concerning you and what God thinks concerning you. There is a stark difference between what is written. The law records wrong. But in John 1:29, John said, lifting up his eyes, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now let's read Psalm 32, verse 1 and verse 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. By the law is the record of transgression. Yes. By faith is the removal of transgression. Yes. By faith. By faith. What did I say the topic of this discourse is? The believer's faith. I'm coming. So in the Old Testament, you see records of men's frailties, men's weaknesses, failings, their slip-ups, their mess-ups, you know, all their indiscretions. I mean, David, you know, all of that happens. But in the New Testament, because of what the blood did, it's not sin. So for a believer, whatever you do that is not out of faith is not reckoned with by God. That is why Abraham was not seen as a liar. What he was seen as by heaven's narrative is the father of faith. Gideon. Excuse me, oh. This the story of Gideon. I was reading it last night and my head was going to burst. I need people to see what happened to Gideon. Yes, Judges 6:12. Yes. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Emphasis, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came with heaven's narrative about Gideon. Addressed him as such. So when he came, he did not see Gideon as hiding. He looked at him and said, "Mighty man of valor," because that is heaven's narrative of Gideon. He didn't see him as a coward. He didn't see him as hiding. He didn't see him as someone that was unlike the unlikely. You know, Gideon is one of the unlikely. Someone that he could not rescue Israel. But we see the angel of the Lord says, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us," go back to the previous verse. The angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with you." Next verse. Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these things happened to us?" Who does that sound like? God, why me? Why is all of this? If you are God, prove yourself in my situation, in my life, in my circumstances. And Gideon completely ignored the address the angel of the Lord addressing us. Start talking about his predicament. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did the Lord not bring us up out of Egypt? But the Lord has now forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianite." Mighty man of valor. Talking like a peasant. Mighty man of valor. That's why I started by saying that if you understand a fraction of what God has done in Christ for you, you will never be the same. I'm sorry, I might not cheer you up and get you to scream and shout, but your eyes, they have to be open to the reality, to your realities in Christ Jesus. That is when you'll be able to apply the word the way the word should be applied. So forgive me if I'm not, but today I came to stir up somebody's consciousness. Next verse. Then he now comes, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And he goes about, and the Lord said, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." You shall defeat the Midianites as what? It did not say you defeat one man. It says you will defeat the Midianites as one man. That means heaven reckoned Gideon as enough to defeat the Midianites. I said heaven reckoned Gideon enough. He was enough. They didn't need plenty. He didn't need two. Heaven didn't need two. Two of Gideon. He said, "You as one man." So we see that in the New Testament, there is a deleting of record. And we see a rewriting of narratives according to faith. Because the only thing God does business with is faith. It's not your emotions. It's not your feelings. It's not where you are. What is going on around you. What God deals with is faith. Do you understand? Let's go back to Moses. Did he run from Pharaoh? Answer me now. Did he run from Pharaoh? No. Was he afraid? Is that what God said happened? Who wrote it? Who wrote the Old Testament? Holy men, as were inspired by God. So the writing of Moses' failure was inspired by God in scripture. So that when you see what God does, you will now know that it's not because Moses earned it. It's not because Moses was all upright and all just. It was not because Moses did anything. It's not that Moses worked for it. It was God's reckoning. Do you remember faith consciousness? It is what God declares. So when we say that God does not speak in vain, you understand what we are saying? He does not speak in vain. Hallelujah. Is this making sense so far? Is it coming together? So, at first we saw that in the Old Testament it was recorded that Moses ran, and then in the New it was him forsaking. So it is important to know that scripture does not contradict scripture. Because when I brought those two, if someone comes and tells you, but your Bible said this, your Bible is saying this, you understand that scripture cannot contradict itself. That's Christ contradicting himself. And we know that that is impossible. We know it is impossible for scripture to contradict scripture. That's why it is important to not just lift a narrative or a Bible story by itself. You must understand the whole counsel of God concerning something and not just lift up a verse and run with it. That's why we are taught the way we are taught in this house. Hallelujah. Paul said in that teaching, for the believer in Christ, whatever that was not done in faith is not reckoned with by God. God rewrites the narrative in favor of faith. So, what God writes of me, if it's not in favor of faith, it's not there. I'm sorry about how you feel about it, but it's not there. I'm sorry that you don't think that I'm deserving, but it's not there. Do you understand? For Moses, it was not there. For Gideon, that's not what the scripture said. For, you know, that's not the narrative that heaven records of Gideon, of Moses, of Joseph, of all the elders. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Was by faith. Was by faith. Hallelujah. Woo. So, the blood doesn't just save you where you are. It rewrites everything about you. The blood rewrites everything about you. That's why you can read the record of one person in the old and come to the new and see an entirely different record. Because of faith. So you messed up. Let me show you something. Moses, when Moses was running away from Egypt, he thought he was out of fear. But what the scripture says, it was faith. Now let me remind you of your own story. You think certain things do not work. Your plans shattered. You see yourself as not winning. But God sees you as shutting the mouth of lions. You see yourself, things are not working. It's not, you know, things are not working. I don't feel like I'm making progress, but heaven sees you as obtaining a good report, as obtaining the promises of God. That's how heaven sees you. That's how. I came to remind you. Because sometimes life can make you feel like you don't have faith. Forgetting that this faith, nobody, you worker. It was a gift from God. Do you understand? This faith was given to you by God. It was a gift from God. And we know that God, whatever God does. And so scripture says by faith, Moses left. Moses left off. He was acting out of fear. And flesh. That's what we see. That's what Moses himself even saw. You know? That's what Moses himself saw. But that's not what God saw. God saw someone who would save Israel. God saw someone who was triumphing. You know, if you read down 29, it says 28, 29 of Hebrews 11, you'll see where he says he forsook the riches of Egypt. And Moses was telling Pharaoh, I'm too big for this. I'm too big for what Egypt has to offer. I have a calling of God upon my life. I'm too big for what Egypt has to offer. But it didn't look like that. No. It didn't look like that. It didn't look like that was what he was doing. Because even you, sometimes you don't know that you're acting out of faith. Because it is God that is working. It is not you that is working. If you are the one working some things for you, you wouldn't have gotten where you are today. You would have pressed spoil. Spoil button, you would have spoiled the spoil button. It's you now. But if God had told you, I'll keep you here in one place for this long, you will say, no, God, come, let me show you the plan that I have. You know, I'm a very good planner. I used to plan things for people. Last time I planned for somebody's life, it went well. So I think you need help with planning my life. The life that you live is by the faith of the Son of God. You are living somebody's life. You are living a life by the faith of God. And you want to help him. Well done. Because you see something, he is the source of faith. Hebrews says he's the author and finisher of faith. That means there is no space for you in between to try to work anything in faith. There's no, this walking is for you. Do show walking. Me, I've arrived the answer. I've arrived at you in the middle. Do your stuff. No, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith is from God. It is not self-generated. You cannot generate faith. How do you want to do it? You, mortal, human, you want to generate faith. So when scripture says, have faith, it's not telling you look for it. It's not telling you work it. It's saying collect faith from me. Collect, have it. So if I tell goodness, have this. Or goodness comes to my house and I say, you can have a bottle of drink. Is she going to go outside to go and buy it? Is she going to go and look for money to go and buy it? Is she going to go to the woman at the store and say, Emma, Your neighbor says, I should come and, please don't be angry. Oh. They said, I should come and collect a bottle of Fanta. I should have a drink. So I thought to come outside and come and find how to, you know, you start to explain. No. That's not what God called us into. That's not what he did. What he did was he gave you, he said, have faith. So for every time someone was given faith, it was given from the source of faith. It was given from the progenitor of faith. It was not a human being that worked it. Faith cannot be human generated. No, you don't have what it takes to generate faith. So stop generating faith. And have faith. Collect faith. Have faith. Oh, hallelujah. So Moses ran out of fear, but it was the prompting of God. It was the prompting of faith. And sometimes, if you look back at your life, you see that actually you did not act out of your flesh. It was God working. For God works for the good of them that love him. So be encouraged. Your faith is not... Your life is not, let's try. It will work, will it not work? No, by faith, Sema. Scripture said of David, by faith, David. No, by faith, Sema. With all that David did, he said, by faith, David. Oh, no. By faith, Sema. I don't know about you. I cannot speak for you. I speak for myself. But you see it. In scripture, Hebrews say by faith Moses, by faith Joseph, by faith,
by faith, by faith. And these people did not have salvation that time. They did not have the Holy Spirit resident inside of them that time. And now you have the Holy Spirit resident in you. And you're living life with shaky feet. No, no. You're living life shaking and wondering what will happen. No, by faith. By faith, put your name. I'm just stirring up your consciousness. That's all I'm doing. The believer's faith narrative. That is what God reckons you with. Let's see Hebrews 11 and verse 29. This is the children of Israel. We know Israel. We know the Israelites. These people, they did a lot. Those people, nothing God did impressed them. Nothing God did impressed them. See, people that God brought out of slavery, they doubled, they made their work 7 or 10 times more. Or they doubled their work when the old Pharaoh died. And just because they encountered some little issues in the desert, they said Egypt is better because of cucumber and garlic. First off, I don't understand the combination. Not cucumber and groundnut. It's garlic, no? Cucumber and garlic. How is that nourishing for your body? What is the use of garlic? For throat. What is the use of cucumber? You now mix the two of them. And that is what you say is the good old days. Have you seen how you have insulted what God did for you? You look back and you say, Egypt is better. A place of slavery. A place where you were bound. A place where you did not have a voice. A place where you did not have a personality. God called Israel out to make them a people unto himself. And they say cucumber. And garlic. See, even if God, you don't give me food in the desert, I'll follow you as far as I'm out of Egypt. Do you understand? What kind of people? The combination is crazy. And Israel murmured. They grumbled. They were in front of the Red Sea. They came to a fix. Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh and his guys behind. Mountains around. The next one that off me. They said, you brought us out here to kill us. Are there no tombs in Egypt? God, these people are so low. It is tombs. So, it's burial ground that was problem for you. Because if you say, are there no tombs in Egypt? It means that where you are about to die is not good enough for you to be buried. It is burial ground that was your issue. When God saved you from slavery, have you seen how many times we have looked down on what Christ did? How he saved us from sin. He took us away from the power of the enemy. Because good old days. As long as you look at the good old days, they are old, yes, but good? You tell somebody my good old days. I didn't used to lack 5K in my account. Good old days. Right? But right now, that without your 5K, you had 2 million problems. But right now, you have seen God sort out your bills, your bank account empty. Every day, you don't know how the next day, how the next meal is going to come. You don't know. But because before you used to have 5K, something happens, you don't come to church. You drop your sonship one side and say, let us be real. How real can real be? How real can real be for the believer than what you have in Christ? Like I said, I just came to stir up your consciousness. Because a lot of us are beginning to forget the narrative of heaven concerning us. You're beginning to give in to life. You're beginning to give in to stupid voices that are not the voice of God. You have been taught the voice that, to how to discern the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You are still behaving anyhow. You are depressed. You open your mouth. Hello, ma. I'm depressed. When God said, how did you come up? How did you come up with that? You remember when Adam, God says, where are you? English. Adam says, we are naked. Somebody ask you a question. I've answered something else. He says, where are you? He says, I'm naked. The next question was, who told you? Is it that God did not see that Adam was naked? No, you cannot say you're omniscient if you did not know.
Yes,
oh God, he knew.
Yes,
he knew the very minute. In fact, he foreknew. So he slayed the fan. Yes, he knew. He knew. Adam, I told Adam not to eat that thing. He go chop him. So, lamb, come. Let me kill you. So that when the sin is committed, it means a price that has already been paid. God says, who told you? Whose narrative are you believing? Dear believer, I came to challenge you. I came to ask you questions. Whose narrative are you believing? Adam says, I am naked. Oh, you are so woke. You are woke to your weaknesses. You are woke to your frailties. You are not woke to your realities in Christ. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not a Gen Z like that. Come off this nonsense, worldly things that people say about themselves. It's somebody that curated the, I am a Taurus, I am a Scorpio, I am a Gemini. Have you seen how cancerous you are? My sign is Cancer. Cancer is a sickness. My sign. Are you alright? My sign is Taurus. Whatever that.
We get angry easily.
All that you see of Taurus. Whatever that. How do they pronounce it? Taurus. I don't care. Because it's annoying me. You are a Scorpio. That's why you always behaving like a Scorpio. That's why. Everything about you is a scorpion. You are Aries. You don't even know how to pronounce it. But you are it. I read it the other day on Psychology Facts on Facebook. They say Cancer, they used to behave like this. They don't know I am a sanguine. I am melancholic. Things about me is always melan. What's the other one? Oh, you are phlegmatic. Hear the name. Phleg. They have carried you on their shoulder. They have reached. Don't be cheated. Tell somebody, don't be cheated. Don't do that. You are choleric. Calling sicknesses upon yourself. And then you forget where scripture says you are a chosen generation. That will not concern you. I am melancholic. Bah!
Stop it. You are a chosen generation.
You are a royal. Do you know what it means to be a priest that is of royal class? Do you know what it means to be a priest of royal class? You're not just any priest. You're not a fake priest. You're not a, you know, priest that stays inside one small hole. You're a priest of royal quality. A holy nation. His own special. I'm going to read this for myself. For I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special person. That's who you are. Stop the worldly claims. Leave it for the world. If the people of old, Moses, David, all of them, if they could obtain a good report, and they did not have the Holy Spirit resident in them. Oh my dear, look at me. I have a good report. Paul showed us a few weeks ago when he asked us, I think it was Moses. Now, when he said Moses was the meekest man. And then he asked us about the attribute of Moses. And all of us say he was angry. Moses, stammerer. So the Israelites were found murmuring and grumbling against God. God is long-suffering. Sigh. Because only me, I'll just collect all of them, come home. Call to glory. That's the first time you see obituary of a nation. Call to glory, Israel. Those people did. Oh, they did. They did. But then, let's see Hebrews 11:29. And let's see what heaven's narrative of Israel was. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Let's see 28. Yes, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And you see that faith was accrued to Israel. A people that murmured, grumbled, were ungrateful. Last week, Sunday, taught us attitude of gratitude. And you have seen how faithful God has been, even in your ingratitude. You have seen how faithful God has been, even when you were faithless. Now, they got to the Red Sea. They were, this Red Sea is going to kill us. But little did they know that they were going through baptism. So you see, the happenstances in your life, they are not on their own. They don't happen because they feel like happening. They happen because heaven says so. So they went through baptism as a type and shadow. They were baptized into Moses as a type and shadow of how the believer will be baptized into Christ. In their fear, in their grumbling, in their murmuring, they were used as a type. They were baptized. They walked through the Red Sea, baptized. Even when they did not know that they were acting in faith. I hope this is beginning to, you know, shift someone's mentality. I know that your narrative is that of faith and not what you think about yourself. The law was designed to make you feel guilty. So guilty that you could not save yourself. And you cannot save yourself. So hopeless that you need a salvation. So hopeless that you need a salvation. The kind that only comes from Christ. The kind that only. That's the purpose of the law. So the law by itself was not there because it felt like being there. It was there because God designed it so. That's why he could say the law is holy. All the New Testament records are acts of faith, not acts of failure. The failings of the believer in the New Testament is of no consequence. Yes. So God puts into you the currency that he can transact with you. He gives you faith. Because that's the only way he can transact with you. If he's going to transact with you based on your ability, you will not be able. You cannot meet up God's standard. You can't. You cannot. You try. You cannot meet up God's standard. And so what does he do? He injects faith in you. That's why you cannot generate faith by yourself. No mortal can generate faith. Hallelujah. Is this making sense so far? This coming together for someone. So God is only dealing with you on account of what he put into you. If God's gift to you is faith, it is given to you to transact with God. And all the records heaven keeps of you is the record of your faith dealings with God. That's all. That's all that heaven keeps record of you. So, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, I will be with you. And for us, see guys, our faith is substance faith. It's not in its promissory sense. It's not. What did I say? It's not in its promissory sense. For you now, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, the faith, your faith is not, it's not the substance of things hoped for. Oh no. It is substance faith. Heavens, I love it when Pap said this one. I know it will either excite or hurt some people, depending on what side of the word of God you're standing on. Pap said, heaven's narrative of a believer does not change because of your opinion. Yes, all you want. Manipulate all you want. Do all you want. The faith narrative that God has of me will not change. That's why we are not distracted by opinions. Afferentes. No. Opinions. That, what are they called? Opinions. Everybody needs to have an opinion. You can say Samson killed himself. Samson committed suicide. That's what you see in the Old Testament. But Samson, nobody took Samson's life from him. See, Samson laid down his life as a type and shadow of Christ, laying down his life when he said, "No one takes my life from me." Samson decided that it is time. I'm going to take my life. I'm going to lay down my life. A type of salvation. He was showing you what, when Christ said, "No one takes my life from me. I can lay down and I would pick it up." The difference between Samson and Christ was Christ took his own up. Samson is waiting. You know why he's waiting? Because together with me, he will be made perfect. Samson, oh.
And these people, the Holy Spirit was not resident in them. Oh. Hell. So I have a better advantage.
The Holy Spirit was not resident in them. I have a better advantage. I have the Holy Spirit that says this is the way. Walk in it. You hear a voice. What is that voice telling you? This is what God says. This is the faith narrative. This is what God says about you. So you cannot exchange God's narrative concerning you for opinion. It's too cheap. Opinion is too cheap. Jesus Christ, you were born which day? Rock of Ages says, "I am whole." Because you studied. No disrespect to any profession. But I want you to understand what I'm saying. No disrespect to any profession. Because you studied how to trace something inside people's body. You say that I have. Oh no. I cannot have what heaven is not giving. You give me the report. I am not going to. Okay, yes, it's true. It could be true. Do you understand? You tried. I mean, all that you learned is not in vain. But I discard it at the point where it does not corroborate with God's narrative concerning me. I discard it at that point where it does not corroborate with heaven's reckoning. Faith is God reckoning himself. That means faith is what God says is faith. That is what faith is. That you don't see the divine plan of God in action does not mean it's not there. That's why I said if your eyes are open to see a fraction of what God does, see, you will perpetually be on a high. And then this statement that we make that can almost turn to a cliche. A man in Christ cannot be disadvantaged, will carry weight. Because now you understand that is because of the narrative that heaven has concerning you. I am chosen. I'm not forsaken. I am who he says I am. You are for me, not against me. I know who you say I am. And then when we sing your realities in Christ, it is with utmost joy you will lift your hands. You will not wait for someone to say, lift up your hands. Sing along, please. You see, religion, they used to beg you. Please lift up your hands. If you like, don't lift up. If you like, don't have understanding. What did Paul pray? That you may know. So your level of worship, your level of engagement with the word, your level of engagement with your word, or with the word, is directly proportional to how much you know. So we can look at you. This one doesn't know much. Now make it behave like this. Because if you know much, you will behave much. When Paul says, "Walk worthy of the calling," you will understand the call of God upon your life. And by the call, we don't mean pastor. It's not pastor. You will walk worthy. Every day you look at yourself, I'm a son of God. I'm too big to be cheapened by my feelings. I'm too big to roll in the mud with people that are not of the God, that do not understand my realities in Christ. I am too big for the enemy to send voices in my head enough for me to believe it. No, I believe what God says about me. So many voices, but to yours I listen. By the time you do this, applying the word will be easy. When you understand this, applying the word of God will be easy. You have the Spirit of God resident on your inside. As I begin to round up with the scripture that says the just shall live by faith. That means if the just is going to live, the only way the just can live. The only way you can live as a just man is by what? Faith is why you are alive. Faith is your lifeline. It's literally the game changer. It is. So every day I'm learning. It took me a long time to learn it. But I'm learning to train myself to see myself the way God sees me.
Yes.
Irrespective of future failings. Yes. It's easy to say past failings. Tomorrow something will happen. The righteous man does what? Falls. The righteous. Oh. That's what scripture says. It's the righteous. It's the righteous. So every day I'm training myself. Oh, I stumbled. Okay. You didn't get this right. Let's apply the word of God again. Prophet say, apply the word of God or die trying. Let your death meet you at the point of you applying God's word. Then we'll see. God's word will be sweet to apply and easy. It's because we do not believe what God says. That's why we are behaving the way we are behaving. Once you believe what God says about you, you will get up every day and happen to your day. I don't remember the last time I thought of depression. I can't. I used to be very depressed. Oh, Jesus. Sema and depression. Oh, Lord. Ask Pav. Pav has walked in my life. Oh, God, amazing. But because when the word comes, it washes. Word comes, it keeps pouring until all every impurity is taken away, until every impurity gushes out of you. The word. The word. That is why it is the word that defines a believer. It is the word that defines a believer. You have suffered delay and hurt, but heaven sees you as triumphing. You have suffered failure, but heaven sees you as winning. You have suffered rejection. What does heaven see? As the accepted. You have been accepted into the beloved. We don't know what those things are, because our narrative is that of faith. So it's up to you to adjust your optics in favor of the narrative that heaven has of you. It's up to you. See, you cannot stop weapons from fashioning. Oh, the promise is that weapons will fashion. That's the promise. You are not going to break God's promise. You're not going to break it. You're not going to dodge it. The weapons will fashion. But one thing that we know is that they will fashion. But what does scripture say? It will not work. It will not prosper. It does not have the ability to prosper where I am. Weapons. Oh, fashion. Before we used to be afraid of weapons, but weapons, fashion. Fashion. You will see that it cannot prosper. God does not see you as broke. God does not see you as confused. God does not see you as all those things that you think just because someone says, I like AG more than blessed. It does not change anything in God's calendar. That's your preference. Okay, move on. Go on with AG. AG, we love AG. After all, AG is a lovely person. I love AG more than I love Blessed. Kilode, Okay. God sees you as who He has predestined you to be, whom He foreknew. That's why we are not changing our destiny. your destiny changed from death to life. Let it be okay for you. You put think destiny is money, job, occupation. No. Christ is our destiny. My faith is substance faith. Tell yourself, my faith is substance faith. And see, dear son of God, you must declare your narrative every day until things begin to align as your narrative says. And so today, I came to tell you, anybody at all, you might understand this message good for you. Keep walking in the reality of this. You might be hearing this for the first time, but the narrative that heaven has of you is good. The narrative that heaven has of you is that which God sees of you. There is no bad in God. I tell myself every day, something is happening, it doesn't look like it's good. I'm like, no. I understand, okay, yes, things will happen, but there is no bad in God. So if this is coming to me, God knows. He knows. So that something is teaching me. God, Papa will always say, before you look for the devil in a situation, look for what God is doing first. So I always quick to say, what is the devil? The devil is doing this, the devil is doing that. The devil does not have the ability to do what God has not permitted him to do. Not in my life. You can be playing with another believer that does not know it, but me, I know. Not my life. So draw from the fountain of faith. Dear believer, draw from the fountain of faith. See, your faith is constant. It's not going to. Now, what is going to change is your demand on it as you grow. So the narrative that heaven has of you is that of good. Oh, I know it's tough. I know it's rough. It doesn't look like what a son of God should go through. Sometimes you say, God, son of God used to go through this kind of thing. I don't know about anybody. God, I don't think a son of God should be going through this. How do you take Siam? But then, when it looks like your eyes are going to be blurred, go back to the word. What does the word say? It takes you back to word consciousness. It also takes you back to willingness consciousness. Because it's God that is working in you. And I hope I've been able to steer your mind in the right direction. And I hope that this has been beneficial to you. And that you leave this room cognizant, attentive, heavily aggressive about the narrative that heaven has of you. And Father God, we repent of every time we didn't see ourselves as you saw us.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yesterday, this morning, right here. We repent of every time that we allowed your narrative of us fall to the ground because of a few things that have happened here and there. And God, now that we know what faith is, we know that it is what you say it is, we rest totally on what you say.
Yes.
That we are not tossed around here and there by everything that happens to us. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. This is not a motivational speech. I tried not to make it motivational, but show you from the pages of the scriptures what your narrative is. By faith, Sema.
Well, that's it for today's teaching. We trust it has been worth your time. For more of these messages from our stables, kindly subscribe to our teaching podcast at www.thebasileacommission.podbean.com or via the Podbean app on your mobile device. For inquiries and further information, kindly send us an email to info@thebasileacommission.org or find us on social media with the handles at The Truth Simply Put or at While the Church. You can also send us an SMS, call us, or connect with us via WhatsApp on +234 70 881 8864. Finally, if you would like to give to support the work that we do, kindly follow the Patreon link in our podcast or contact our office for details. Thank you.